And good to get back there. Amen. All right, we're going to start in 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3, a verse you know. It's in your King James Bible. If you get something else, it won't be there. All right, won't be there as we're going to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll eventually make our way to the book of Job. That's our target this morning, and then we'll be back to 1 Timothy before we finish up. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Father, help me this morning. I want to tell the truth. I pray you'd help me to tell the truth. I pray you'd help me to make it just as clear and plain as can be. I pray that the youngest of these students can understand what we say this morning, that we'll all leave here having been helped by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. We emphasize that. God was manifest in the flesh. What we struggle with is the other side of that thing. We struggle with manifest in the flesh. It is absolutely true that Jesus Christ was God, and we must defend that doctrine and stand for that doctrine and never compromise on that doctrine. But there is much to be gained by a proper understanding of the fact that God became man. And he was not 50% God and 50% man. He was all God and all man at one time. Amen. And today, I'm going to say this, and then I hope we can get around to making sense of it. It's just as important to us today that Jesus was man as it is that Jesus was God. Amen. There are some benefits that we derive from Jesus Christ the man that are not ours from Jesus Christ who is God. And we're going to try to look at some of those and lay hold upon that this morning. It is not hard for us, for some reason, it's not hard for us to think of God as being bigger than our universe and higher than the heights and lower than the depths. And it's not hard for us to think of God as being bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if there were 10 worlds or 1,000 worlds and we said God was bigger than them all, yes. But to think that God could become so small as to enter a body in the womb of a virgin. Boy, it's hard for us to take that in. If God had seen fit to place himself inside of one single atom, he could do so. But it's hard to grasp that. We get a big God, we can't get a God becoming small. We get a mighty God, we can't picture a God becoming man. It's hard to comprehend God the toddler. It's hard to comprehend God ready for breakfast. It's hard to comprehend God buttoning a shirt for the first time. It's really hard to take that in. But the Bible says in Micah chapter 5, and we'll go there just for a minute. Again, if you don't have a King James Bible, what you read won't match what I'm going to read. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2 says this. Micah 5:2, but thou, wait just a second, Micah 5:2, when I start reading, you haven't found it yet, just look up and smile, everybody, think you have. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. We know that's Jesus, right? He's born in Bethlehem, and he's going to come forth, be the ruler. Now look, but whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So that babe that was born in that manger, he was the everlasting God.
Amen.
But no, we know that. We say, well, yes, but he's God. But he's God laying in Mary's arms. He's God and he can't walk. He's God and he can't feed himself. He's God and he has to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's hard to take in. That is the mystery of godliness. It wouldn't be a mystery that God created the heavens and the earth. That's not called a mystery. That God should walk on water, that's not a mystery. That God should conquer death, that's not a mystery. But that God is picking up a spoon and trying to get the food into his mouth, that's a mystery. That's a great mystery. Now, why is that? Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. Some controversial passages in the Bible, some strange sayings in the Word of God, but we believe them to be so. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. Hebrews 5, 7. Who in the days of his flesh, now verse 5, Christ glorified not himself. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Let me ask you something. Where in the book of Genesis would you find God crying? Where in the book of Exodus would you read of God with strong tears pleading for deliverance? Where throughout all the pages of the Old Testament would you see God on his knees with his sweaty blood and bloody sweat running down his brow, pleading with supplications for help? That's a mysterious thing. It is a great mystery that God should not only become a man, but that God as a man would be on his knees praying for help, praying for strength, praying for salvation, not from sin, but from trial, for deliverance, not from enemies, but from burdens and heartaches. There you have it. The Bible says in verse number 7, strong crying and tears on him was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Boys and girls, you know what you just read there? This is a great mystery. You just read that God, in a body of flesh, learned some things. So I thought God knows everything. I thought there's nothing God doesn't know. He didn't know what it was like to have to obey commandments in a body of flesh. He came down here and learned that. He didn't know what it was like to be on the receiving end of the orders. He'd always been on the giving end of the orders. He came down here, and to him it was said, thou shalt not, don't go here, don't go there, do this, don't do that. He'd given those laws. He had exacted those laws. He had meted out punishments and blessings based upon obedience or disobedience to those laws. He'd never been made under the law. Bible says God, in fullness of time, he came to this world, made of a woman, that's part of it, made under the law. He'd never been there. I'm reading the Bible, that's controversial. It's hard because we're all for the deity of Christ, but we're weak on the humanity of Christ. Look what it says. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did you know that one day Jesus sat by a well and asked a woman for water because he was thirsty?
Yes.
You know what God said in Isaiah? He's sitting out there as God. And he said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I'm God. I form the waters in the hollow of my hand. I stretch out the heavens with my arms. I'm God. But one day, God learned what it was like to be thirsty. He dwells in the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity. That's what Isaiah says of him. He came down here and he said, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But I have nowhere to lay my head. He had never been without a dwelling place. God never wanted supper. I bet you out there working that carpenter shop with his daddy, I bet he got hungry. When had he been hungry? I'm telling you, it's hard for us to comprehend that. It is a great mystery. Our minds, our hearts, somehow we can begin to lay hold on Jesus as being God, but on God being man? That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. And the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned obedience to the things he suffered, and being made perfect. Now, Pastor Rick, he read all scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Not sinless. Perfect. Complete. Full. Entire. Everything you could be. You know what the Bible says? God came down here. And I'm just telling you what it says. And became more than he was before. He came down here and he acquired some things he didn't have when he got here. Boy, that sounds blasphemous. That's the great mystery. But that's what it says. Is that not what it says? And being made perfect. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 9. We'll get to our message in just a minute. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. What new doctrine is this? It's not new. It's just scary. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. To make the captain of their salvation perfect, not sinless, or he couldn't save you, perfect through sufferings. Listen. Up until about 33 AD, God had never had anyone spit in his face. He has now. God had never been punched with a human fist. He has now. God had never had his back whipped. He has now. In Genesis, he watched Cain strike Abel. He watched it. He did not experience it. Right. In Exodus, he watched Egyptian taskmasters lash the backs of the Hebrew children. He watched it, but he'd never experienced it. Yeah. In the days of the judges, when the people would cry out to God for deliverance and cry out to God for help, he watched it, but he'd never uttered those cries. Yeah. By the time Jesus Christ got to that cross, he was no longer a spectator. He had become a participant. And when he walked into the doorway of death, having attended not only every man's funeral, but every sparrow's funeral since Adam sinned, for the first time, death touched him as part of that human family. That's what it says. Oh, great, great is the mystery of godliness. We read the words and something inside us draws back and says, wait, that kid, there's got to be something else. I got to ask the pastor about that when this guy's gone. That is what it said. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. We'll start at 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. All right, high school students, English, that's a double negative, so that means it's a positive. So we do have a high priest that what? Can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Today you have a God that Jeremiah didn't have. Today you have a God that David didn't have. You're saying Jesus is a different God? No, I'm not saying he's a different God. I'm saying today our God knows how we feel because he's felt that. Today our God knows what it is to be in a body of human flesh and to be tempted. You say, well, do you think he could? I'm not talking about what he could have done, couldn't have done, what he did. Look, I'm simply saying, the Bible says he has stood face to face with the devil. He has stood face to face with the opportunity to do something in his body, in his heart, in his mind as a man that he shouldn't do. He's been there. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And as God and as man, he now has experienced life on earth with all its blessings and all its heartaches and all its joys and all its trials. Everybody see that? All right, now we're ready for the message. Let's go to Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. Why in the world would you come here and say something like that and get everybody all stirred up? I'll show you why. Job is in a mess. And he's got a God. But that God's a long way off. And he's got a great problem. And that God, you could say he initiated it, or you could say he allowed it. But what we know is he observed it from afar. And the Bible says in Job 9 verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, Yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Job is certain that he wouldn't be in this terrible situation if he hadn't somehow offended God. But he has no idea what he's done that could possibly have made God so angry. And he knows that if he could just somehow undo what he's done wrong, or make right the sin that he's committed, or correct the transgression, that maybe then he could be back in the place where God wasn't angry with him. But he doesn't know what to do. He knows there's a God, but God's way off somewhere. And he said, if I took not water from the river Ganges, if I took water not from a Florida spring, if I could get snow that was falling right out of God's heaven and never let it touch the earth and never let it touch a man's hand, and if I could wait for that snow from heaven to melt, if I took that water and washed myself with it, if I made myself as clean as I could possibly be, If I walked into the presence of a holy God, he'd just throw me in a ditch. I couldn't be clean enough. I don't know what to do. He's buried his children. He's watched his wife in anger and despair walk away. His body is torn and broken. All his material possessions have been carried off by enemies. He doesn't know what he's done, and worse, he doesn't know what to do about it. And then he says these words, 32, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment." He said, I can't talk to God. He doesn't know my language. And if God tried to talk to me, I couldn't get it. I don't know what to do. Now, don't hurt your feelings this morning, because some of you really love little Fifi, your cute little barking fuzzball. But you can go get home this afternoon and explain to Fifi all you want why you were late and how long the preacher went and why you're sorry she had to wait an extra half hour. She has no idea what you're talking about. She can gauge a few things by the tone of your voice. She can kind of guess if she ought to run and hide or come and jump in your lap. But Fifi's not going to get your explanation as to why she's been a little extra hungry today. And when she wags her tail and looks up at you and barks, you can say, "Oh, see there, she said it's okay." She didn't say nothing. You speak a language Fifi doesn't understand. Fifi speaks a language you don't understand. You can communicate some emotion. You can communicate some instruction. You can provide some blessing Fifi's way, and Fifi can provide some satisfaction your way, but that thing's awfully limited because you're a man and she's a dog. Sorry. That's probably the worst part of the whole message for some of you right there. And I'm telling you, Job sat there and he said, "I know a little bit about God, but it seems to me that what I say, he doesn't understand. And what he says and does, I sure don't get it. I know when he's real happy with me and I know when he's real angry with me, but beyond that, he's not a man. And I'm not a God. And we just can't fellowship together." And he said in verse 33, "Neither is there any daysman betwixt us." Daysman. That's not a full-time job. That's somebody who comes and gets the job done and then goes on his way. Job said, "I wish somebody would come and get this job done. I wish somebody would come who could lay his hand upon us both." If somebody would come who was God and who was man, then God could speak to me and I could speak to God. And this thing might not get any better, but at least it would make sense. And this thing might not go away, but at least I could have God's companionship to get through it. That's all I want. Amen. 34, "Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me." Job said, "There's nobody on the face of this earth who can put his hand on me and put his hand on God and bring the two of us together." Don't lose your place. Come to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to say this real carefully. Job had the same God you have, but he didn't have the man you have. And so he lived in fear and uncertainty, afraid of the God he trusted. Knowing only that if I do my best, he won't hurt me. And if I don't do my best, he's going to bash me in the head. And how did God communicate to man? You say, well, he gave his word. The Gentiles wouldn't think so. You say, well, by signs and wonders, the smallest group of people on the face of the earth saw those a couple of times in 4,000 years. For 4,000 years, God said nothing to the Gentiles and showed them no sign and showed them no wonders. And in 2,500 years, God showed the Hebrews signs under Moses and then Joshua, no more. And then under Elijah and Elisha, and then no more. That isn't much. You said, well, they had the Old Testament scriptures. Really? Yeah. You think all those Hebrews pulled out their Gideon Old Testament and looked up, so, well, no, it's right here in Psalms. I don't think so. He says, not so with me. Now watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God. We believe that. And one mediator between God and man, we believe that. Here's what we miss. The man. The man, Christ Jesus. God can't be a mediator between God and man if he's just God. And no man can be a mediator between God and man if he's just man. But if somebody came into this world in a body of flesh formed in Mary's womb, born in Bethlehem's manger, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, believed on in the world, received up into glory, who was God and who was man, he could put his hand on God and put his hand on man and bring the two of us together. Hallelujah! Hanging on that cross is Job's daysman. Hanging on that cross with one arm reached to heaven and one arm reached to earth, God says to man, I now know how it feels. I have wept, I have hungered, I have thirsted, I have been bruised for your iniquities. I've been wounded for your transgressions. The chastisement of your peace is upon me. Amen. I am now your high priest. I have felt your infirmities. I have experienced your despair. I have cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I have entered your darkness. I have known your betrayal. Yes. I have shed your tears. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was every bit God, but he was every bit man. Back to Job chapter 9. Look at the backward look. What has this daysman done for you? Verse 30. You don't have to wash yourself with snow water. He's washed you in his blood. You don't have to make your hands never so clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. And he'll never plunge you in a ditch. He'll never abhor you. He's taken off you those old filthy garments and clothed you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now look at the forward look. His rod has been taken away from you. His fear no longer terrifies you. Now you can speak and not fear him. You know what he said? In those strange verses about learning obedience and those strange verses about being made perfect, you know what he said? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Job said, I wouldn't dare. I dare. Job said, I couldn't. What would he do to me? We already know. And I'm telling you, when you look at that cross, it's not just doctrinally God Almighty satisfying the demands of the law. It's not just a man dying in your place. Those are wonderful and true doctrines. But you know what they are? I wonder, why didn't they stone him? Why didn't they cut his head off? Why didn't they hang him by the neck? Why did they nail him to a tree? So you could see one hand stretched out to God and one hand stretched out to man. And you could say, there is my daysman. One mediator between God and man. And look, he didn't stop being God when he came to earth. And he didn't stop being man when he went back to heaven. Your mediator today is the man, Christ Jesus. You may not know how to get to God, but you know how to get to a man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ was God, and I believe that. I believe in the deity of Christ. But my independent Baptist friends, we also need to make much of the humanity of Christ. We are great beneficiaries of that truth. Amen. Let's